Our next lesson is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, reading verses 11 to 16. The title is The Lord Appears to Solomon. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal the land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and heart will always be there. The New Testament lesson is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew that in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Diana. If any of the choir members want to come down, you're welcome to. You can also stay there if you like. This is where that goes. Okay. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these words that we have heard. We thank you for your word who comes and teaches us. Open our hearts and minds that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So Tuesday morning, Nate woke up with a head cold. Not unsurprising in the month of September with kids going to school, and it's always Nate who brings it home first, it seems, in our household. Thursday morning, I woke up with what seems to be the same head cold, and around dinner time on Friday, it was Ian's turn. So the germs are being shared freely within our household. What should I be doing with this? Should I be praying all week for God to heal us from our illness? Should I simply be segregating the sick from the healthy and doing my best to keep the germs apart? Maybe going wild with some Lysol around the house? Maybe I should simply focus on rest and liquids and ride it out. What does it mean today to be healthy or to be sick? within the family of God? Does God still heal? Did he ever heal? Did Jesus? These are questions that people often ask. We live in a world today of facts and science where it's very hard for many people to accept this idea of something supernatural, something that cannot be explained by our science or our doctors. And there are some who will say that the stories that we find in Scripture are maybe exaggerated by Jesus' disciples. There are some who will point out that in the what we call the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus doesn't really say explicitly that he is God. We only find some of that language in John, which was the last of the Gospels to be written, and was written sort of, you know, a couple decades after the rest. Was Jesus really the Son of God, or was he a good moral teacher? And if we follow his ways, maybe that's enough. And this is where context and understanding kind of the story behind the story becomes important as we read Scripture. Because Mark, as we've said, was the first gospel, as far as we know, that was written. It was the closest to when Jesus lived and died. It was certainly written within the lifetime of many of those who would have known Jesus. And this story we find, which, remember, is only in the second chapter of Mark, is very clear that Jesus is making audacious claims. Jesus is not just coming out and saying, let's follow the road. He is doing something here that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, arguably quite rightly, are horrified by what he says in our story. We heard from the Old Testament, the very beginning of when the temple was built, the temple that was built for God's presence. And God is very clear through all of the Old Testament. Forgiveness comes through sacrifice and repentance. You've done something wrong, you've noticed the punishment, you come to me at the temple, you make your sacrifices, you ask for forgiveness, and I will grant it to you. The closest anyone else comes to granting forgiveness from sins is the priests. And it is always in God's name, and it is always after repentance and sacrifice at the temple. That's just the way it is. For the teachers of the law to say Jesus is speaking blasphemy is true. Unless it's true that he can grant forgiveness of sins, unless it's true that Jesus is God. We miss out sometimes when we read these stories over and over and over again at how insane some of what Jesus said really was. Unless it's true. But Jesus says, and I can't help but imagine what it must have been like to be this man and to be his friends. Right? So he's been paralyzed for some length of time, we don't know how long, but his friends hear about this man who's been healing people and who's been saying things, and they're like, this is your ticket. This is the way we're going to get you better. We're going to take you to this man. And he's so popular that there's crowds everywhere and they can't get in the house. They're like, that's okay. We're going to take now, often the roofs of these houses were used to sleep in the summertime. You didn't have air conditioning. But if you slept up out there in the breeze, you might be able to sleep. So there were often stairs up to the roof, and the roofs would have been flat. So they take him up to the roof, and then they dig through the hay and the mud and the things that were used for the thatching, and they make a big enough hole. Like, this is not a little hole. This is a man on a mat, right? They make, I don't know, a 6-foot by 3-foot hole in the roof. The poor guy whose house they're in. And they drop him down right in front of Jesus. This is the moment. He's gonna walk. And what does Jesus say? Son, your sins are forgiven. I wonder, was the man joyful? Were the friends looking down from above joyful? Or were they confused? maybe even disappointed. They didn't ask for spiritual healing. They didn't even seek repentance. They didn't say, I want to repent. They didn't make a sacrifice at the temple. They didn't do any of the things that they're told they have to do to seek. They didn't even know maybe that they were looking for forgiveness of sins. They were looking for this man's body to be healed. And yet Jesus sees their faith in Jesus, and says to the man, your sins are forgiven. And he causes an uproar, certainly amongst the teachers of the law who are there, who have been listening to him. Who knows what he's been preaching about? Do you notice? We don't even know what he was preaching about. We know he was talking, but what about? Was he talking about sins? Was he talking about loving our neighbors? Who knows what he was talking about? And this man is dropped in the middle of that. He stops his message, and he tells him his sins are forgiven. And I wonder if the teachers of the law hadn't questioned Jesus' ability to say that, would that have been it? Would the man have been healed of his physical ailment? We don't know. But what we know is that Jesus uses the physical healing of the man's body to prove that he has the authority to also forgive the sins. So if we learn nothing else from our passage in Mark, Mark wants to make sure we know that Jesus really is God. Jesus really had the authority to forgive sins, and he proved it by healing this man's body. We do not hear anywhere that he was paralyzed because of his sin. We do not hear anywhere that he needed his body to be healed in order to be fully part of God's family. Jesus calls him son before any physical healing happens. But we need to know that Jesus truly is God. And that is what Mark wants us to understand, as he does from the beginning. Now, there are stories in Scripture where when we read about Jesus, when we are invited to go and do likewise, going out, talking to people about Jesus, loving our neighbors, there are many things in Scripture where we read and we are told to go and do likewise. And then there are stories where we read them and we're like, wow, that's Jesus, and that is not us, right? So this is one of those stories. Jesus is not trying to tell us that all of us can now go out and forgive sins. I'm not going to come back here to the choir and be like, Mark, by my power, your sins are forgiven. Go be a new man. Now, I might come back and say, Mark, have you heard about this guy named Jesus? And if you go to him, he can forgive your sins. But Jesus has not said, Meg, you now have the power to forgive sins like Jesus did. This is one of the things that we are invited to try and understand and figure out in Scripture that can be challenging. So if we're not Jesus, and we're not, where are we in this story of forgiveness and healing? And that's what I want us to think a little bit about this morning. Are we like the man who was on the mat? Is there something that's paralyzing us, keeping us from following where God wants us to go, keeping us from moving, keeping us stuck in maybe an unhealthy place or an unhealthy time? Is there something that we need help bringing to Jesus? And it may not be the thing we think it is. But if we come to Jesus with the thing we think it is, he does offer us forgiveness and potentially healing. If we come, or if we have friends who bring us, which is the second spot where we might be. Are we the friends? Do we have somebody in our life that desperately needs something or someone to come to Jesus with something? Are we the ones that are being invited to pick up a corner of the mat, to invite our friend to come to Bible study or to church, or just to have a conversation? Are we the friends who are to bring and to encourage and to welcome those who need healing and forgiveness? Are we right now sitting in the crowd? Are we so focused on listening to what Jesus has to say, on trying to figure out how to live our lives, that we're ignoring the people behind us who are trying to get through? Do we have our backs to those who desperately need healing and can't find a way through because we've blocked the way? Not because we don't want them to come in, but because we're so focused on what we need to learn that we've stopped paying attention to the world around us. Do we need to turn around and look at what else is going on in our world? Or are we a teacher of the law? Have we been so embedded in our faith structure and our religion? Are we so focused on the rules that we have to follow that we're missing out on the miracles because we're worried that they might not be proper? Are we stuck wanting to live a good life and missing out on the other ways that people are coming and trying to seek out Jesus? And I want to be clear, there's nothing wrong with wanting to learn from Jesus. There's nothing wrong with finding it helpful to have rules to follow in order to live a good life and make it easier to be one part of God's family. But those are tools. Those are things that are part of what we do. And if they start to become the thing we worship, they start to become the thing we put all our emphasis on instead of on Jesus and on God and what's happening around us, we run into trouble. And here's the thing about this story. Day to day, our position in it might change. This week, maybe I'm the man on the mat, desperately needing to bring something to Jesus and feeling like I can't get there, feeling stuck. And then some friends might help me and I'll start to get better, and then suddenly I'm the guy in the crowd, so focused on learning what I need to learn that I'm ignoring the people behind me trying to get through. Maybe someone will tap me on the shoulder and I'll look and I'll see and I'll be doing better, and then I'll be able to be the friend who carries somebody into Jesus' midst. And maybe sometimes when I just have to get through, I'm so focused on the rules I have to follow that I'm missing the miracles that are happening around me. And this is the beautiful thing about God's gift of grace, my friends, is he offers it to everyone in this story. Like I said, with the kids, this gift is free. We don't have to earn it. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can do that makes God love us less. And so that is our foundation upon which we seek to do better. Because we're not Jesus. We're not the one who instantly says your sins are forgiven and it's true. We're the one who points. We're the one who receives. Together, we are the community that hopefully gives a glimpse of what God is doing through Jesus. We all here may have different views on the supernatural elements of healing. Personally, I have heard too many credible stories to dismiss it out of hand. There are things that happen in this world that we can't explain through science, and that's okay. That doesn't mean we throw science out, but it does mean we're open, I'm open at least, to the possibility that things are happening in this world that are beyond how I can explain them. So perhaps our invitation this week is simply to open our eyes, to look at what is happening around us, to look for those people who need to be carried, to look for those who are trying to push from the crowd behind us, so that with the crowd, we can praise God and say, we have never seen anything like this. Jesus is always making all things new, my friends. For that, I say thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you came as Jesus, that Jesus is a part of you, part of the Trinity, that Jesus could back up his authority with things like healing. We thank you that you continue to invite us to be healed, first and foremost of our sins, but also of other parts of our lives and our bodies that need it. God, help us to be open to see your miracles, to see how you're working around us, to not get so focused on us that we miss out on the beauty around us. Open our eyes, God. Help us to see the wonder of being part of your family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.